Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
OMG, that theme song knows it's time for that after show for your favorite wrestling program. It's Wrestling Inc. We're talking about SmackDown, the 12th day of the 7th month of 2024. My name is Lobo Boys. I'm in the catbird seat because we couldn't find Justin LaBar, Glenn Rubenstein, or Jack Farmer to do it. But as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by, you know, say his name. He appears. I believe in Corderas. What's going on, sir?
Yeah, I'm just hanging in the heat here in Toronto. Believe it or not, it is smoldering out here. But you know what? Some yummy watermelon will always cool you off.
Of all the fruits I think you'd be eating, I wouldn't expect watermelon. But that's just
neither here nor there. This is, I got to tell you, the first time I heard, this is good. First time I heard this combination, though,
sir.
On a hot summer day, my dad used to have a garage in the middle of Greektown. And he'd close at 7, but around 5 o'clock, you know, him and his buddies would get together. And it, all of a sudden, he'd say, oh, go across the street and go to the supermarket. There was one right across the street. Get a nice loaf of Italian bread, that crispy, you know, crusty.
Oh, yeah,
crusty,
yeah.
Grab a watermelon and go to the store next door and get some Greek feta cheese that was in the barrel with the brine.
Okay.
And come back. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay. And I'm thinking, this is the weirdest combination ever. So, and they're sitting there in July and it's nice and hot and they're outside and they're munching on the whole combination going, this is so good. You got to have some. And I'm thinking, how do you have bread, watermelon, and cheese? I get bread and cheese.
Right.
But how does a watermelon fit in? You know what? They know what they're talking about, man.
Okay. So you got to explain this to me. Are you like putting the watermelon in the bread? Are you having one of the, are you having a charcuterie? Is there ouzo involved? Like, how does that even work?
Well, the way they did it, they'd get a nice slice of feta cheese on the bread. You take a bite of that and then chase it with a slice of, with a nice, you know, chunk of watermelon and it washes it right down. And it's so, so refreshing.
I feel like it's one of those things that I will hate and then I would love it if I actually tried.
Yeah.
Well, as always, we got to give people all the thanks in the world for coming in here and just piling in. We're going to talk about SmackDown in just a minute. And of course, Josie, it's the lurking time. Shout out to Jack Farmer. He actually made lurking a thing, which I didn't expect that as being Jack's broadcast colleague for 6 years. He got that over. So
we need t-shirts.
Yeah, it's lurking time.
Yeah, sure, it works.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, we're also hanging out. If you got questions or comments or concerns, drop them in the chat. We'll definitely get to those as well. WWE SmackDown comes from Worcester, Massachusetts. So if you're from Worcester, say hello. You'll get priority access. But my man, Jimmy, there are things happening in the world of wrestling. Can you believe this? First up, the top story was Stephanie Vaquer being signed by WWE. And, well, it looked like she spurned a couple of other promotions out there, not only signing with the E, but getting her first couple of dates, going to be featured in a Mexico tour in the next coming days.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. Yes, a lot of people were stating that she ruffled a few feathers in New Japan Pro Wrestling, obviously in CMML and down in Mexico. But now I understand why. It's the reason she had to cancel her dates was because she signed with WWE. And I'm pretty sure that the reason for the cancellation of those dates, because a lot of times we've seen it before, they've allowed contracted talent to finish out their contracts and their booking dates. But here she is going to appear this weekend for shows in Mexico. So going forward, she is a contracted WWE talent who looks like she's going to be immediately appearing on the roster, maybe in NXT, wherever the case may be. Most likely destination sounds like NXT. That being said, they can't risk her going elsewhere now that she's a contracted talent, if that makes any kind of sense. Yes, I know it sucks. For all the booking dates that were coming ahead, you made these handshake deals. I don't know if they were contracted deals, if you signed anything, but she wasn't under contract to any other company. She was just appearing pretty much as we say, independent contractor. And she signed the deal with WWE, so I understand why it's happening. And I also understand why the other companies are a little upset with her.
Well, that gets a little bit murky, right? Because if you are at any level of wrestling or even entertainment, that's not WWE, there's a kind of like unspoken agreement. You go where you booked, right? If you get a new job, you tell your new employer, listen, I got this until this, and then I can work for you. Is that wrong to say, I'm just taking the bag now?
It's not wrong, but it's a gray area. It is very much a gray area because, like you said, you should honor your contracts, but at the same time, or your agreements.
Right.
Whether it's a handshake deal, like I said, whatever the case may be. But in this case, she is a signed contracted talent, and it's somewhere she wanted to go. It's a destination for her that she's always wanted to be at. She's you know, said it how many times, even after her tryout way back when, I think it was 2018, when she had a tryout with WWE, and they didn't sign her then, and she knew she wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Now they feel she's ready to go, and it looks like she's going to, like I said, she's going to be a player from the get-go. So,
yeah, I hear that. And I hope she does well. Again, I haven't seen, and I'm not knocking AEW, but during Forbidden Door, that Vacuum match with Mercedes Moné, to be in all fairness, was trending. And that's something that doesn't usually happen with the women's division in AEW. Again, just stating facts. Because I know some people ask, hey, why do you qualify everything? It's because wrestling tribalism is real. If I want to be hated on, I want to make sure that something that's totally fair.
Exactly.
What are we talking about?
And the other thing, too, with her appearance at Forbidden Door, I know people are going to say, well, what, they snagged her from there. Somebody was watching and said, you know what, maybe they were paying attention. Maybe she was in, you know, maybe on the radar. And this really solidified somebody's suggestion, like, you know what, we need to pick her up and put her on our roster because she's a player.
Absolutely. I understand with wrestling, and I know I'm speaking to the choir, but we're talking in cases of people actually listening to this podcast, right? We get it. There's the AEW stands, the WWE stands, the one that say they're for both, the ones that pretend they're for both, but really have a preference. Right. But yeah, if you're the general manager of any sports team, it's your responsibility to make your team better than ever. So if someone is hanging out there being an independent contractor unsigned, then of course, you know what I mean? If TNA Impact got in there first, we wouldn't knock them nearly as much.
No. And because it was against the number two team. So I guess a lot of players a lot of fans are really upset about that. Pushed a lot of buttons online. Let's put it that way.
The New York Yankees are wrestling. Before we get to our next news item, can I ask a personal question? Just
of course.
Guys, right?
You know, everybody else lay out. So
yeah, you need to go. I mean, there's no one here anyway. It's fine. No, shout out to Rav.
No, we're kidding.
we need you. Wrestling Inc. is going to be like, Flobo, listen, why are you shooting away our commenters? So, do you know, we've been on a couple of shows together, and when people say, hey, we're being joined by Jimmy Corderas, they don't say Jimmy Corderas. They go, future Hall of Famer. And I always wonder, does that kind of give you the willies? Or you're like, no, damn it, I am a future Hall of Famer. Respect me. Like, what's the vibe?
No, I appreciate the sentiment. I really do. But I think there are guys that belong there before I do. I look at my mentors. I look at guys like Dave and Earl Hebner. I even say a Tommy Young because, you know, WWE has been extending that olive branch outside of their brand. Why not at someone like a Tommy Young? Tommy Young absolutely belongs in there. There's so many guys that belong in there, but I think they should start looking at inducting a few striped shirts.
For the record, if you're ever inducted, like how like the Baseball Hall of Fame, you get to pick a cap, you got to wear the SmackDown shirt. The SmackDown ref shirt is what I think of you when I think of your referee.
You know, now that you said it, my wife and I have been doing some, I was going to say spring, but it's hot summer cleaning down in our basement. And guess what I found?
The SmackDown shirt?
More than one. I found a few.
Heck yeah.
Still got them.
Tuck Graff of the house. What's up, Dumb Diestas? So speaking of future Hall of Famers, Finn Balor signs an extension. There were some rumblings about whether or not Finn was going to take his next chapter elsewhere because he was a world traveler. And I know a couple of years ago there was the, and Finn's been pretty open about this, about feel like he wasn't used properly in WWE. So when the contract came around, there was a little bit of concern of whether or not he'd be going elsewhere. But Finn Balor is here to stay, signing an extension through 2029, which is 5 years from this month. Finn Balor is locked in.
That's good for him. You know, he's obviously happy where he is right now. He's happy in the spot he's in right now. And they are prominent on Raw. The Judgment Day is very prominent. And now you're seeing him starting to become a major player, kind of taking a leadership role, if I could say so, since it looks like Damian Priest is going to be probably exiting that group and that faction at some point in time. Spoiler. That's what it looks like to me. I'm just going by what I see. You know what I mean? So, and Finn Balor has really stepped up, and it could be, we could see a rivalry between him and Damian Priest for the World Championship, which I wouldn't mind one bit right now.
Oh yeah, I like it. I like the fact that everyone on Judgment Day, because if you remembers, it started off really slow. Not sure if it's an Edge problem or a creative problem, but now it's for the past, not 24, but in 23, they were the bloodline as far as time spent developing and just being a bunch of rapscallions. So yeah, Finn Balor is one of my favorites. I guess I tend to favor the Irish competitors. Same as one of my all-time Finn Balor is as well. I'm glad he's sticking around.
And those I am too. Good for him. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I just, how do you have like 12 abs, man? I have one. It's a keg. That's what I got.
I have two, but they're on opposite sides of my body. You know what I mean? One in the front, one in the back. No, it's one in the front, one in the back. I don't know how that worked out.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on, because that's a real mental image. It looks like WWE Raw and NXT will be moving to Sci-Fi over the next couple of weeks as the Olympic coverage in Paris will be all over in your faces on NXT, NBC affiliated networks and USA included. So NXT and Raw is going to go to Sci-Fi for the next couple of weeks. Are you an Olympic guy? Are you a fan of the Olympics or what's that?
Some sports, I am a fan of the Olympics. Obviously, a lot of the track and field stuff, what really gets me is stuff like the pole vault. Really amazes me how those guys and women can, you know, put that flexible pole in the right spot and bend their bodies up over. That just amazes me every time I see that.
You know,
especially now. Sorry. Especially now because it seems like those poles are getting shorter and the bars are getting higher, and they really have to reach and get their feet over. Oh my goodness, it's amazing.
You think you know a guy, but I learned about watermelon and that your love of pole vault. I would not have pegged these things, you know. I thought you'd be like, oh man, I love freestyle wrestling. You're like, no, pole vault's graceful at AF, guys. What's going on? If you're watching right now or listening right now, let us know what your favorite Olympic sport is. I'm not sure what my favorite summer sport is, but I'm a big fan of bobsled. That's just my thing.
Really?
I'm not from Jamaica, but my parents are from Barbados. So as a Caribbean man, cool runnings is like a move we play all the time. That is basically history. So
I don't want to do the bad accent, but because Jimmy Cliff is coming in my head right now. You know, I'm a music guy. So
Jimmy Cliff is actually. I'm so glad he's getting his flowers. For a long time, he was kind of the thinking man's performer. Yeah. That'd be the thing. The Bobby reggae Eaton nights. of reggae music. Yes,
but, reggae nights, man.
Yeah, man. Exactly.
For me, it was always Reffin nights. So
see, that works out too. Yeah. You know what? If you had like Rasta stripes, I'm just saying that would probably be a dope action figure. You know,
maybe let me go back in the basement and see what I can find.
Ref Adam says curling is his favorite sport. Great is the greatest sport. I do like it. I've learned to love it. The winter stuff in archery and javelin. I feel summer's Olympics get more press, but the winter ones like biathlon where you ski and shoot things. It's like, all right, and finally on our news desk this week, looks like the Intuit Dome would be the home of Survivor Series or Survivor Series War Games this November. Currently scheduled for November 30th, there's been talks about taking the event to Los Angeles, or specifically Inglewood, which is 3 miles south of Los Angeles. That's where WrestleMania was last year, at the new Intuit Dome, an arena that was built specifically for the Los Angeles Clippers. So it's brand spanking new. It's opening in August, and so there may be talk of having it over there. Now, Jimmy, there has been some discourse on the social medias, because you know all positive discourse are on social medias, about why isn't Survivor Series a stadium show as opposed to an arena show? I don't want to bury the lead here. It's a new event, a new venue, a new place, a new arena, but some people are kind of bellyaching the fact it's not in the big, giant 30,000-seat football stadium.
Yeah, it's really weird because some people would complain that the big four, as we used to call them, were now being held in stadiums. Why do they all have to be in stadiums? It makes them feel less special because WrestleMania should be in a stadium, SummerSlam should be in a stadium, and that's it. And we've had Royal Rumble in stadiums for a long time. We had Elimination Chamber in Australia in a big venue out there as well. So people are saying, well, Survivor Series is one of the original big four. Let's put it in a stadium. Well, you know what? Not everything has to be in a stadium. And, you know, this is going to be a destination place. It's going to be a weekend thing. You know, it's going to be a Saturday night SmackDown. It's going to be a Friday night SmackDown. A Saturday night will be the Survivor Series, and Sunday will likely be an NXT pay-per-view as well, which did very well here in Toronto last week, as people saw. So I'm not a big stickler for that kind of thing. It doesn't really matter to me. As long as they put on a hell of a show, and if I'm there, that's cool. I'd like to go to LA. I wouldn't mind getting there one more time, but
it's fine. It's great. Yeah. I mean, it's expensive, but it's fine. Yeah. I have to stay on Jack's couch because rent's too high. this is a hot take, though. Survivor Series is actually my least favorite event on the calendar. Like, I am not a fan of Survivor Series. I think wrestling fans of a certain age remember the Thanksgiving Thursday night shows, and they have the nostalgia. But I feel like this event has gotten less and less important on the calendar, so much so you got grafted with bragging rights for a couple of years, where it was like Raw versus SmackDown, and now we have War Games grafted on. Is there a space for the traditional 4 or 5v5 Survivor Series matches, or is that as bygone as like winning a match with a bear hug?
If they do it right, I'd like to see it come back, because the first Survivor Series, which I was blessed to be a part of, that was the concept of every match on the show. Mm-hmm. That was what it was. You know, you had two women's matches, tag team division. Do you imagine that? 10 women's tag teams, including the Jumping Bomb Angels in that one, you know, and
they were so great.
Yeah. That was the one I was fortunate to be the official inside the ring for. And of course the men had a 10 team, five on each side, tag elimination match as well. And then of course the big one with Team Hogan versus Team Andre, you know, they have enough stories and enough factions, so to speak, that they could do something like that and make that the theme of the pay-per-view. And I think if they did that, I think it may gain a little more interest, because every match, despite the fact being similar, has a purpose.
Got to give a shout out to Jax, a bit more specifically Alicia here, part of the Wrench crew. She says, the last time Survivor Series was interesting was when NXT was included, which, one, I agree, and two, that was literally 5 years ago. That was 2019, so... Mm. But yeah, it looks like people love Survivor Series. I know it's a hot take. It's a spicy take. And I'll definitely, I'll take the heat for that. For this one thing. The rest, just make sure you tweet at Jimmy after that.
Exactly. No, don't worry. I could take it. But I will agree with you with this. It has lost a little bit of its spice. So,
you know what? In all fairness, I felt SummerSlam did too. I think a long time SummerSlam was kind of forgotten. But thankfully, it's coming back. But just
it almost feels like other pay-per-views have taken the spotlight away from SummerSlam. You look at last week's Money in the Bank, for example.
Yeah.
Look at the ones that are happening overseas. The attention that it's getting. The King of the Castle, the Saudi shows. They're a big deal, and SummerSlam is supposed to be, like you said, the number two pay-per-view of the year. PLE.
Oh yeah, I mean let's be real. There's SummerSlam, and then 3 weeks after that, they're going to Germany. And if I have summertime vacation money, I ain't going to Cleveland. I'm going to Berlin. I mean, let's be call a spade a spade.
Which is by the way the site of the first ever Survivor Series was Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, there we go. That's like a pro tip. Yeah, I wish if George Hermosa was here, he'd be like, "Duh, you didn't know that." I love George.
And you call and you call yourself a historian. Come on.
I do not. I am such a nerd. I'm the opposite. It's like, who's wrestling?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about SmackDown, y'all. Thanks so much for rocking with us so far through the news desk. If you want more news, make sure you hit up the folks at Wrestling Inc. That is where we get our news sources. But the most trending moment of tonight's SmackDown wasn't LA Knight. It wasn't Cody Rhodes. It was after this segment and BBL Bailey. You see, Tiffany Stratton comes out to gloat. She has missed Money in the Bank. It's officially Tiffy time. And well, Bailey says, oh, thanks so much for winning that. I won it a couple of years ago, but you're not going to be guaranteed a title, especially with Nia Jax being the presumptive number one contender after winning Queen of the Ring. We had ourselves a little bit of exchange of words. Before we get to the matchup itself against Mi Chen, hey, how do you feel about Tiffy time becoming Miss Money in the Bank?
She's got the perfect attitude for a heel against someone like a Bailey. She was my pick to win it, and at least I got that one right out of
all. Stop gloating.
I got one right. I got one right all night. At least let me gloat about that. So it is her time, and I like the fact that I'm actually fast forwarding a little bit that she didn't do it tonight. Do the deed.
Please, let's talk about that part. We'll get to the match itself. So, yeah, there was a bit of a tease after the matchup where Tiffany Stratton was going to cash in. That would have been fun. It would have popped the rating, but you're saying the restraint was warranted.
Yep, it absolutely was. I love the fact that Nia Jax was the one who caused her to rein it in and rethink her. But there's a lot going on there. There's a little bit of layers, which I like. Nia Jax playing a major factor in this because she's actually challenging for the championship at SummerSlam. So that makes a lot of sense. And she wants to face Bayley for the title. So, and if Tiffany wants a shot at her, you're going to have to go through her.
Yeah, I hear that. I like Nia Jax. She's definitely hit another gear since about a year ago this time with her return. And she's definitely has become a bit of an intimidator. And we saw that in the matchup this week. This one was against Mi Chen, which if you're a Mi Chen fan, it's kind of frustrating because Mi Chen is fighting a war on two fronts. Not only Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton on SmackDown, OTM and Jada Parker on NXT, and she has not been on the winning side of anything. But try as she might, with her kendo stick, we had ourselves a very brutal matchup, but it was the annihilator from Nia Jax getting the dub. And it doesn't hurt any less the more times I see it, man. That and Bronson Reed's tsunami, it's like, how do you protect your ribs on a move like that?
Yeah, it's very difficult to do, that's for sure. And you have to have a lot of trust in the person delivering the move, that's for sure. And I love the match in the sense that it did its job in making Nia Jax look like an unbeatable force. And that's what she needs to look at. Yes, you can have matches with her slipping on a banana peel in the middle of the ring and maybe sneaking one over on her. Because if she's to lose a match either that way, or she has to be brutalized with some kind of object in some form or fashion, because the way she's being presented is as someone who's very unbeatable, and any babyface, especially babyface champions, are going to have to fight from underneath in a classic way, like someone like a Sami Zayn would, or someone like a Bryan Danielson. Yes, I'm flipping to the other guys, but he's a perfect example of someone who could fight from underneath.
All right, you are one of the guys, one of the boys in the back on a SmackDown roster. You got Bianca Belair. You got Jay Cargill. The promo from Nia Jax today calling Bailey BBL Bailey and having that trending has got me with a theory. So let me know if it's true or false that Nia Jax is the most important competitor in the women's division on SmackDown right now.
Yeah, I could see that. I could absolutely see that. I think she's overshadowing all the ladies, including the champion. at this point. And that's not a knock on Bailey. It's not a, I'm not taking a shot at her. I'm taking a shot. I'm just making an observation that she is front and center, and she seems to be the priority right now in the women's division on SmackDown.
I hear that. I'm with her. I love heels that are hated. And this is another thing I'm going to get a lot of heat for, but I'm willing to say this. Everyone tells me on AEW how much MGF is great. Oh, he is a rapscallion. He's such a good heel. And maybe he is. But I love heels that I actually don't want to see. I want to go, I want classic Ric Flair, not the self-parody Ric Flair. I want Nia Jax. I want people to be like, I hope you don't win. You won. My night's ruined. And she does it so well.
No, she does. And I agree with you with that. This whole generation of, oh, wow, he's such a great heel. I love it. Guys like JBL, if he'd have heard that, he would have probably slapped that guy's mama. You know what I mean? Just to get some, you like me? You really like me? Well, how about now? Bang.
Yeah.
They did that whole angle with Eddie Guerrero in El Paso where, you know, his mom came into the ring and feigned a heart attack. They had to escort him, police escort, out of town.
After El Paso rioted after JBL?
Yeah. They were ready to do some stuff to him that is indescribable. And, you know, everything was cool. It was an angle. No. Right. But the people there didn't. They just bought in hook, line, and sinker, and they legitimately had to escort JBL out of town.
Look, I understand, especially in independent wrestling where, theory, you don't work as much, so you're trying to make yourself as appealing to fans, even if you are a heel, because you got merch to sell, bills to pay. I understand that, but I think to have good faces, we need people we just despise. And people are saying things like X-Pac heat out of place. I don't think if you're a bad guy getting booed, it's go away heat. That's the kind of thing you need to go, we didn't want that guy to get beaten. That's why I love The Miz so much. He's still doing that as well.
Cool. Yeah, great biography on him this week too, as well, man. Being someone who was there from the beginning, watching him get in trouble and getting banished to the broom closets and stuff like that, and see where he ended up, man. God bless him. He really worked his butt off to get to where he is, and you talk about a player who can do it all.
Yeah,
he can do it all. He's the best utility guy in wrestling.
I am so glad people like that are finally getting their flowers, because it takes a lot of work to be able to slip on a banana peel and then and then come back and be a threat next week. And he has a flash of that guy. Before we get on to our next segment, there's something I tweeted about on this week's episode. 30 minutes had elapsed in this week's SmackDown. We hadn't seen a member of the male roster. We had a female promo, a women's promo, and a women's matchup. Women were out front and center on SmackDown. This could be part of that secret sauce. Thoughts about that, having such a forward episode with women talent this week?
I think that's one of the things that WWE does well at times. They feature the women. They don't do it every week. They pick and choose their spots, and that's what you have to do. Some weeks you have to feature the women. Some weeks you have to feature tag teams. Some weeks you're going to have to feature the middle story, and of course the top story usually gets prime real estate on television. So I like the fact that they do pepper in the women's division at times, giving them the focal point. You know, they tell you the most important part of any show is how you start and how you end. Those are the two most important parts of a show. And they gave the women the second most important part of the show, because we'll get to what ended the show later.
Sure. Hot seat question. Favorite women talent so far in WWE?
Favorite right now? Women talent?
Currently?
I'm thinking Chelsea.
Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
Right, she just wants to be respected, man. What's the big deal?
Yeah, I respect her. Don't come at me, Matt Cardona. It's all respect. Don't worry.
He's always ready with a Z. Yeah. All right, let's talk about respect here. Because Andrade got the solo one-on-one interview treatment, but that solo interview lasted all about 10 seconds between Carmelo Hayes being like, look, Andrade, yeah, I respect you, brother man, or Booker man, but it cost me an opportunity at Money in the Bank. Andrade responds in kind, says, you're next. So, three things at play here. One, Andrade is not feuding with Luchadors anymore. Two, Carmelo Hayes and Andrade looks like they're going to be in the off, and it could be an absolute banger. And three, why is Byron Saxton not doing more?
You know what? That's a good question, Byron Saxton. We saw him again later on in the night, but actually Byron Saxton is really good at being the interviewer. You know, that's something he's found a niche. And they should, you're right, they should implement him more as opposed to, and I get it, they use the female talent as interviewers in the back a lot, but you know what? you gotta use him a lot more, and not just on SmackDown. You can actually use him on Raw. I don't think announcers are, except for the broadcast booth, the announce table. I don't think they're specific to the brand. So, yeah, why not? And as far as the ladies go,
but Andrade and Carmella.
That's what I thought we were talking about. Sorry. Yeah, you know, I got stuck on Byron Saxton there, but Andrade Carmella, you know, I like that matchup. I really do. I think these guys, like you said, can have a banger of a match, but much more than that. Carmella's showing me a lot. He's got a lot of character. He's got that cocky attitude. He looks like a guy who can be a true heel that people will dislike, as opposed to, like we talked about earlier, the cool heel kind of guy. Right. I think he's got that in him. And, you know, he's really playing up that as the newcomer who kind of telling the veterans, I don't need your help. I got this, you know, that kind of thing. And Andrade needs a little shot in the arm, and this might be the perfect shot in the arm for him to get him some much needed wins. Maybe not even a win, just some much needed TV time in a positive light.
Well, to be fair, that's what we're saying about both these men, right? Carmelo Hayes was the first round draft pick. Andrade was in WWE, went to greener pastures, and came back. But we haven't really found the conflict for either one of these guys. I know it started off pretty weird now, being like, I want you next. But this could actually grow into a legacy versus legacy thing, correct?
Well, it can, but I like it the other way. I like the fact that Heath just found him as a smarmy, you know, You ruined my spotlight. You know, I was the main player in that Money in the Bank match. You know, I was the highlight reel, not you, that sort of thing. And trying to one-up him, so to speak. So I like where it's going, but at the same time, too soon for legacies to be talking legacies between these two. They'll get there. They will get there, but give it time.
El Hilo. On the other side of the Lucha spectrum, Legado del Fantasma, this one is Angel and Berto. I'm still getting used to calling him Berto, but Humberto Carrillo was in a tag team match player against Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews. And I'll tell you one thing. I am Apollo Crews' number one fan. I have every shirt this guy's ever done. But talk about guys that hasn't really found a way to hit the top ceiling. It's that guy. A returning Baron Corbin, good prospect. But at the end of the day, it was Legado all day. Now, all of these men in this matchup were struggling to get some wins, struggling for airtime. But did Legado do themselves any favor tonight?
I think they did it perfectly, and as a heel team would. They cheat to win, and that's what they're supposed to do. The distraction of the referee, it was a little thing that I liked about it when, oh my goodness. See, I'm lost already. I'm trying to look at my notes here at the same time, and it's not working.
Baron Corbin? Or
no, we're Angel. No, my goodness, Lopez.
Okay,
Angel Lopez. Yeah, gets up on the ring apron to distract, which we've seen 100 million times in the past, and it kind of, you know, drives me insane that it's very similar to very many times when they distract the referee. It's very formulaic, but she got up and she started walking the other way so that Escobar could hit the knee going the other way. So they did it perfectly to outsmart the referee, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you have to look at the timing and how they did it. She walked to the right, camera right, and he went from camera right to camera left, hitting the knee, and then exited the ring that way. So it protected the referee.
I have a question to ask you. And this might be too inside baseball. When you are distracted as a referee, what are you saying? Like, hey, what are you actually are saying in a dialogue on screen to have the big gestures and all that?
Well, it depends on who is distracting you, because a lot of times the person distracting you is kind of directing you as well. Okay. Follow me, not yet. And you're giving them heck for whatever you're doing. You're doing your hand gestures, your motions, like you're trying to get them to get down or whatever the case may be. And if it's somebody like a Jimmy Hart or some of the old school managers that are so good at what they do, they're directing traffic.
Okay.
So they say, okay, give it a second. You know, I'm going to jump down, give it a second, then turn around.
Oh, okay.
Like that, you know what
gotcha,
I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah. I always wonder that, and what do refs say when someone tries to cash in? Because I always thought Mike Chioda's like, you cashing in right now? What a briefcase. You're like, come on, Chioda. What are we doing?
I was very fortunate to be the referee in the ring. I guess fortunate you would be the right word. But when Edge cashed in against Taker, and, you know, after he got beat down by Mark Henry, after Taker had been in a cage match with Batista before that.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, he was battered and beaten and bloody. And, you know, Edge comes in to cash in. And I had to do the, seriously, you're going to cash this in now? Oh, come on. And, you know, did the old kind of, okay, ring the bell. What am I? I'm stuck kind of thing. You know what I mean? I did the best I could to make it look like I was a little bit disgusted. You know?
Right. I count shoulders, but I have a heart. That's what, yeah. That's what I like about you, man.
That's another t-shirt.
Yeah, banger after banger after banger. Let's talk about the one we talked about a little earlier, Chelsea Green, Piper mm-hmm. Niven. They wanted some respect. They wanted time with Nick Aldis, but the general manager didn't even bother showing up to work. Ah! What a flim-flamming, skim-skimming guy that is. No, I'm kidding. Chelsea Green wanted Nick Aldis' attention.
Well, I like Chelsea Green. I like the way this all worked out and telling a pretty deadly – guess what? You get in the back of the line, please. No, we're here first, behind. That was kind of cool. But LA Knight coming out of the office and telling him that Nick's kind of busy. So he's told you, he'll let you know, he'll call you, that kind of thing.
Right.
Was kind of cool. It was a nice little teaser. And the way she's had the neck brace and all that, selling her injury, going through the tables at Money in the Bank. It was fine. It was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's such a fan. I like the neck brace, love selling it. Piper Niven still must be still miffed after going all the way to Scotland to get that L, you know, still mm-hmm, kind of the mm-hmm. edgy side of it all.
But she showed compassion. She showed some compassion. We saw a side of her for Chelsea Green, like, oh, take it easy. You'll be okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look, they're friends, right? Why right. not? But that Pretty Deadly musical, I can't wait. I wonder what the song's going to be like, you know?
Yeah. I wonder who's going to do the music for it.
Yeah, it has to be like a parody of like Jersey Boys called like Yes Boy or something, like something dumb like that. Something over the top. Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know, in the Heights.
anything that includes Mario Lopez, they got to have him do a run in with him in the video. So
Mario Lopez, that's an OG. Yeah, shout out to Extra. Yeah. Sorry, there's a fly in my house. I'm like swatting the camera. I'm like trying to do all this.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, man. That watermelon, it's coming across state lines.
Oh, I hope they're not yeet flies.
Yeet. I would run so fast. I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
I actually, there's a quick promo that a segment that Cody had with RKO, which I guess, you know, Randy Orton says, I'm going to back you up and you don't need my help, but I'm around if you need it because that plays a little bit later. But I was just so focused on the French cuffs that Cody was wearing with the Nightmare logo on them. That man stays right. Fresh, right? But in all seriousness, RKO, Cody Rhodes talking backstage. Any notes on that?
I loved it. I thought it planted the seed nicely. It wasn't overt. But it was kind of subtle when he was talking to him. You know what? You know what's going to happen tonight later on with Solo. You know, Kevin Owens is not here. He has to be home with his family. We told him to stay home because that's where he needs to be. And whatever happens, you know, I got your back. And when the business is done with the bloodline, there are 12. There's a bunch of guys in this. Everybody in this locker is coming after that. And he pointed to the title. And I want you to know that I will still have your back. But it was interesting the way he said it. It was the tone. It's that Randy Orton tone. Does the Legend Killer come back?
Right.
Was he setting the table when he says that everybody in this locker room wants this title, wants a shot at this title, but I've still got your back. But is that where he wants to plant the knife?
Randy Orton planting knives?
Yeah. You know what I mean. Metaphorically speaking, you know.
I understand that. I mean, Randy Orton is somebody you can't be trusted. And I think it's because he's so mature or his he's up there in age that we're kind of thinking, are we going to get the last run? Is he going to get the John Cena treatment, the farewell tour? Will it start now? And that to me is always fun because you know it's going to be as a heel. He's not going to be a champion and be a hero. He's going to be a total jerk when he does it. When is it actually going to come down? That'd be kind of fun.
And who does it better than Randy Orton? And you can play it off of what happened in Lyon, France in the finals of the King of the Ring tournament. Was it Leon? Yeah. When he lost to Gunther in the tournament.
Yeah.
The little faux pas that happened there, and Hunter taking to social media to say that, yeah, this will be addressed later. Yeah, Randy will get his opportunity somewhere down the line. And that could be his motivation for going after Cody, saying, you know what? I didn't lose that match.
Yeah.
I should be facing you. I should have been facing you. It should have been me at SummerSlam, but you're going to face me now.
I don't. I don't hate that. And I think that thankfully in Triple H era, most storylines are finished. But that to me just sounds like dropped Angle City, doesn't it? Does that sound like, oh, yeah, we did that. Whoops. Like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Well, he addressed it afterwards, which is what he didn't do after the faux pas that happened this last weekend. So it was addressed on social media. So maybe there's something in play there. You never know. They could always go back to it if they need a reason.
True. That's actually good. You plant the seeds. If you use it good, if you don't, no one really remembers except for us.
Exactly.
Because we're a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you're a fan of Kevorka, you're a fan of this guy. L.A., not you. Makes his way down to the ring with a contract that's already 2/3 signed for the United States Championship at SummerSlam. The crowd was eating at the palm of his hand. Nick Aldis, who didn't come to work, somehow signed it. L.A. Knight signed it. But yet, there is a quote-unquote incel. Not my word. It was his word. He's a sign in Logan Paul. Now, there are people that said L.A. Knight needs to be in the main event picture. There are people that said LA Knight needs to go away entirely, but looks like he is firmly in the United States division. Jimmy Corderas is the right spot for the megastar.
Yes, because if there's someone who could elevate that championship right now, it's LA Knight. He is over like, I hate to say this because it's such an old reference, over like Rover.
What does that even mean? Is it like the Rover a dog? Like, is it just it rhymes?
I don't know. I think it was more of a rhyme, and somebody said, "What rhymes with over?" I just put an R in front of it. Sounds good.
Wow. Okay, I like it.
Because not too many people are over like Dover. So
yeah. That's true. Have you ever been to Dover? Yeah. You don't want to be over like Dover.
No. Thank you. but no, I like this. I like the fact that he's the guy that's going after this championship, and I think it's his time. You can only let him fail at attempts to be the guy for so long before people start losing interest. He's still got the people behind him, as we saw tonight. He's still a big-time player. He could talk. He could walk the walk. He could be the guy that's there every week because, like the Intercontinental Championship used to be, it was the workhorse championship. The United States Championship could be that workhorse championship on the SmackDown brand, and Cody Rhodes can continue to do what he does mostly, is set up his matches for pay-per-views.
I got to address this one. This is from Jax Callens, who's also a part of the Wrench crew. Shout out to our moderators here, making sure the streets are safe. It says, people need to stop complaining about Paul. He is playing his role and doing amazing at it. Well, I will tell you one thing. As a competitor, you're supposed to hate. He does his job very, very well. I respect that. He's not nearly around enough, but I think my biggest issue with Logan Paul is that you haven't really given me a reason to hate him. Yeah, he uses brass knuckles, sure, but he's like, I'm young and I'm successful. Boo! Like, I want him to really be evil. Like, let me, like, so he comes out, I'll say he's a heel, I'll boo him, but if you really want me to, like, put him on another level, do something really dastardly. You know what I mean? Like get involved with Cody's mom, or, you know, a lot of low blows, not Shinsuke Nakamura level, but something different than brass knucks.
Yeah, I could see that. But for someone who hasn't been in the business as long, a long time, and has been a short time, and has had what, 8 matches total?
About that, yeah.
I can't believe his level of knowledge and understanding and what he's doing in the ring. That shocks me to no end. I mean, he's a guy who gets it in the ring. Now he has to work. Yes, his promos are heel 101.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he needs to get a little more creative on how to get that, like you said, get people to really hate him.
Right.
But as far as his in-ring, nobody can complain about his in-ring stuff.
Oh, absolutely not. Because I sit home and I try to find things to hate on one on. And the only thing I can think of is, yeah, he's definitely somebody who's bald and has a comb over. But that's a very specific thing for me only. Bald gang. but no, he does everything right. I mean, he does exactly what you need. The United States Championship is a championship I love. But ever since it was in the WWE sphere, past WCW, it really hasn't had its identity of its own. You ask people about that championship, they go, Shelton Benjamin or John Cena. But isn't a workhorse title? It isn't a character title. It isn't anything. So why not give it to Paul? Make it be the digital championship that TNA has.
Right. And as far as his heat, I guess a lot of his heat comes from his online presence, which I think they were hoping translates. But sometimes the wrestling audience, you have to educate them on that stuff because they don't talk about that a lot.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So Jack and I, we have a private chat, chat and text group. We have a metaphor, we say, and that is buying the merch. And the question is, could be literal or figurative, but do you believe in Logan Paul so much that you would buy his merch and show off your fandom to someone?
No.
Are you at that level yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. No.
Fair enough. Well, here is somebody I would buy the merch for, Blair Davenport, because she got a promo this week. Our second women's match of the evening takes on Naomi. And Naomi was a victim of some very, very brutal shots of the former purveyor of the NXT parking lot in Blair Davenport. But Naomi gets the dub. Naomi gets the win, which is to be expected. Looked like Blair was going to say, thanks for helping me out. What a good match. But she attacks her backstage after the match. So, questions I have for you are twofold. One, thought about the matchup, Blair Davenport versus Naomi. And two, what do you make of this main roster Blair?
I like the match very much. I thought the match was very good. I thought, to be honest with you, I was expecting a different outcome.
Go on.
Only because we got that nice video package for Blair Davenport. And she came out and she showed her stuff. She really, really worked well in the ring as a heel. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, unfortunately, Naomi hasn't had very many W's lately. And I was starting to think, oh, no, please don't do this, where she's going to be the person to help get people over every week.
Yeah.
And we found out she is going to be that person, but after getting a W, which makes it more important when Blair Davenport does finally get to beat her.
Take that, Meechan.
Now I understand it. Now it kind of makes sense to me why it happened. And the aftermath in the back after she was, if you notice, when you shake hands, which hand do you usually use to shake hands?
The right.
She shook hands with?
The left, because she was selling the right, wasn't she? Was he selling the
right hand? No, she was selling the left hand, the left shoulder. And she shook hands on the left side. That's a sign of disrespect. In some places. So
yeah, as a left-handed person, I hate that. it's true, because I think what the Latin word for left is sinister. And so if you're in certain cultures, they try to make everything on the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. But now that you mention it, I should have known. Mm. All right. So the women's division has...
That's why I'm here to point these things out, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're the smartest guy in the room. I told you, you want me to run the show today? That's
tough. Yeah.
It should be Jimmy Corderas. I just didn't go, yep.
This guy here.
You're like anti-politicking. Hey, guys, you know what? Everyone should be the main event. The women's division has had some shuffling over the past couple weeks. NXT call-ups, the draft, and all that. And I was worried that Blair Davenport would be lost in the shuffle because on UK, she was the daughter of a wealthy family that didn't have for anything but like to fight. Mm. On NXT, she was a parking lot goblin that would attack people in the parking lot. How does that translate on the main roster? So I ask you, if you had the pen, what would you do to make Blair Davenport stand out?
That's a tough one. That really is a tough one, because there are so many different characters that what can you do that's unique to her and unique to the roster? That's the thing you have to come up with, something that's completely different, thinking outside the box, and something that is believable, because you don't want to get too, I hate to use this word, too corny, too hokey, you know what I mean? Where people are going to say, oh, come on, are you serious? You know, so, man, that's a good question. I wish I had a better answer for you, man. I really do.
I wish I did, too. Everyone can pretty much make the charisma their calling card and call a day. But I wonder, especially with the women's roster being so stacked and jacked, that it might be something she would need character-wise to make her different. Whether or not she becomes a Karrion Kross kind of thing, where she's like manipulative, or the LA Knight megastar thing. She needs something going on. Sorry, I don't think that's thoughts. I ran out of words, okay? That's what I said. Parking lot. Bominos. All right. So elsewhere, we got some rematch action for our WWE Tag Team Championships as DIY, the champions, defend their titles, their first defense against the people they beat. A-Town Down Under. And even though Flo Beato was rooting for A-Town Down Under to get the titles back, DIY retains. And here's the reason why, Jimmy Guitar. Hot take, spicy take, caliente take. DIY doesn't hit the same, man. NXT was great. Gargano solo was great. Ciampa solo was great. But this new DIY just feels like they want us to like them. And that is something that irks me so to no end. Like, please, guys, cheer for us. Am I off my rocker?
No, I could see that. But you're right, though. They have not connected the way I thought they would connect with the audience on the main roster for some reason. They were starting to get there when they had R-Truth calling him DX and stuff like that, where they were part of the comedy team, but they weren't really the comedy side of it. They were just playing into it. So people were starting to get behind him there. But since that kind of went away and that relationship, it kind of got back to where it was. And don't get me wrong, I love both guys. I think they're both great. It's just for some reason, what they're doing right now is not connecting with the audience. And that's what you need to do to get over with anybody. You can do all the moves you want. You can have a great tag match. You can be really, really, really having great psychology in the ring. But at the same time, you have to be able to resonate with the audience. Like they always say, this is where you make your money, right?
Right,
your face. For some reason, well, we haven't seen that from them. We haven't seen enough of it from them, at least anyways.
Look, you're a professional wrestling luminary and dignitary. How has character work evolved? I felt like when I was a kid, all you had to do is be Rick Martel with the cologne and people knew you were an arrogant jerk. But now we need more from our wrestlers. Like, how's that changed? How's that evolved?
Now I got to go look for my bottle of arrogance if I still have it.
See, global fact, Rick Martel is my first ever heel I liked because I really hated the Bastion Booger. I was like, ugh, this is so gross. Anyway, what does someone have to do? Like, we talked about Bill Davenport a minute ago. Your DIY, we know you can go, but something is missing.
Right. Well, back in the day, as you know, a lot of characters were, you know, over-the-top characters. We had plumbers and we had clowns and we had models and of course a lot of people based on ethnicity and where they came from in the
Duke
world.
Joe's my favorite too.
Yeah, you see, you know, Outback Jack from Down Under was, you know,
Man Mountain Rock, right?
Yeah, exactly. So those are the ways they got over. Talent got over with their characters in that regard, where they were over the top characters. Now people are looking for genuine, authentic characters, people who are themselves with the volume turned up to 12.
Sure.
That's what seems to be working. So what a lot of times you have to do is, that's what house shows are for. And that's the beauty about house shows, live events, they call it.
Live event. Well, yeah. You know, I'll speak on this because I won't ask you this because I don't want to put you in this.
No, go ahead.
No. This is what I'll totally take, and I'll tell you why. This is the problem we're having with a lot of minority characters, right? Because The characters are so nuanced. When you have a black wrestler, until they find something, it's always, they're athletic. Apollo Crews, Shelton Benjamin, Jay Cargo, Bianca Belair, athletic, athletic, athletic. When you have Latin characters, it's always, they're either super spicy or they do something that's a stereotypical thing. And that's something I worry about long term. But I think the bigger issue is I think these new characters have to find some way to convey a larger in life, like old school wrestling thing, but have a little bit of nuance as well. So I kind of hope that they find that out because people like Blair Davenport and people at DIY who aren't black or Hispanic are going to fall by the wayside because it feels like they're in this weird in between two worlds thing.
Yeah, I never looked at it that way. That makes a lot of sense what you're saying right there. Because you look at, like you said, and you know, black wrestlers like my old buddy, golf buddy, Booker T, there's a guy who was in WCW as part of Harlem Heat. You know, you
talk from Texas.
From Texas. You talk about the stereotypes that that they played in those roles, but he was able to bridge that gap and start turning it into something different. You know, the over-the-top King Booker and all that stuff. But it was different. It wasn't that typical, like you said, stereotype. Sure. And he evolved his character in many different facets. It wasn't just the King Booker character. It was so many different characters. Look at Mark Henry.
Oh, yeah.
I love Mark Henry, the world's strongest man. Yeah, he definitely is the world's most strongest man. But, you know, they're out there. It's just Mark Henry, they allowed to be Mark Henry.
Yeah, Silverback.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they called him Silverback. But again, I it's kind of a long, winding road to talk about the nuance of what it means to be an over-the-top character versus a nuanced one. So please don't take that out of context. I like SmackDown. I'm not just nitpicking it. But like, I feel for teams like DIY or even Apollo Crews where you're like telling your friends about them. They're not really coming across on screen. And then you're digging in the crates for like six-year-old matches. They're like, see, they're great. So I swear. Yeah. You know, like, come on. Yeah, that's just me. But let's talk about what happened after the tag team match, because it looked like Solo said, get these clowns out of my ring, because Jacob Fatu had a showcase of his skill by really demolishing everyone. Fantastic move, very clever. Up until this point there, Jimmy, though, I got to say, talk about alternate divisions, we see nothing but tag team matches and women's matches. But when Jacob Fatu came out, it was like, now we're getting to bloodline stuff. That's all pre-show. Now it's time for the main event.
Yeah, especially with Jacob Fatu. If you say you talk about somebody who's emerged from the new bloodline, but just when people thought that it was starting to lose some of its sizzle, boy, there was some injection of life into it when Jacob Fatu showed up. And here's a guy who recently got his own entrance music, which is something special. I almost wish they would have done things a little differently at Money in the Bank, though.
Go on.
I would have wished that they would have done it in a way where Jacob Fatu was the legal guy when the referee got bumped. They did all the shenanigans. Solo gets the spike in on Cody, and then Jacob Fatu could hit the splash, cover, 1, 2, 3. Jacob Fatu gets the win and looks like he's going to get the match at SummerSlam. And just when they go to the contract signing, Jacob Fatu picks up the pen, looks at it, looks like he's going to sign it, crosses out his name, writes Solo Sikoa, hands it to the tribal chief. He signs it, and that's how then you have your match that way. So he's acknowledging his tribal chief by giving him the title match at SummerSlam.
Oh, I actually like that. It has like cinema layers, but that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Some a little different. Add some spice. But as far as what we saw tonight, a wrecking machine. That's what we saw. We saw an actual bulldozer going through people, demolishing really four guys because Waller and Theory were kind of quickly disposed of, and then he did a number on Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. Sorry, guys, feel bad.
Yeah, this happened at the 9:45 break. I go, what's going to go on? But looks like Solo Sikoa comes out and says, acknowledge me, Worcester, Massachusetts, which is a town I usually make fun of. We brought it. They said, no, we're not. We want Roman chance. Cody called out. He was called out, but he kind of showed up anyway. He's like, you know what? I don't give the time to call out. Brawl breaks out. Randy Orton gets involved. And without KO, the numbers game was way too much. What we saw was an absolute demolishing of Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton to end the show 2 minutes early. Anyway, thoughts about how this broke down?
No overrun?
No. we got a 10-minute overrun. We're out of time.
Sorry. Sometimes I can't help myself. You know that. But no, I like the way this played out. I mean, obviously, Cody knew he was walking into it. And, you know, people complain that he's not a real fighter, but he stood up for himself, and you got to give him credit for that because that's what stand-up champions do. They're going to fight regardless of the odds. And Randy coming out to get his back, them tying up Cody in the ropes and making him watch the destruction to Randy Orton, and you know the cameras picking up the audio of Cody saying, "Take me, stop it, take me." You know, again, I think that's another layer added to the story, because as they were taking out Randy Orton, and nobody sells that stuff better than Randy does. He's just, because, you know, he took 3 super kicks on his knees. And he sold it like he was in La La Land. I mean, it looked real. It didn't look like, you know what I mean? The way he sells is just different from everybody else. And it works. And then them taking him out and putting him through the table and the whole bit. And then finally at the end, spiking Cody. But now that adds more fuel to the fire, I think, for what we want to see, which is Randy versus Cody down the line, because finally Randy will get fed up. He says, you know how many times I've had your back, and what has happened? Yeah, I've paid the price for you every time I've had your back.
Wow.
You know what? Now it's time for you to pay the price for what it cost me.
That sounds like Jack Farmer, but I hear you. I totally hear you. Okay. Cody... Yeah, exactly. They're all heels. Is Cody Rhodes right now? I know it's hard to say until the run's over, but you see him do all the make-a-wish things. You see him interact with kids. Is he like the Cena or Hogan or Lex Luger of our generation? Or are we putting that too much on Cody's run right now?
I think he's well on his way to becoming that. Because I witnessed it live in Toronto when he's... Oh my goodness! Because I was out by his bus when I arrived at the building and just hanging out, talking to some old friends there, and some of the security guys that were still there when I was there, And Cody came out of the bus and he walked over to where all the fans were lined behind the barricades there. He went over there, took pictures, selfies, signed everybody's picture, signed everybody's belt. He took that time on his own to do that. You know, who does that nowadays?
You know, it's funny. We're talking about like minority characters and all that. I had the longest time I couldn't identify with Cody Rhodes. I just like, look, and I'm not saying that to knock anybody, but there's some characters out there you're just not a fan of. It's just the way it is, right? It's wrestling. It's art. It's whatever. I like Stardust, but that was kind of because it was so silly. But when he came back for WrestleMania 39, the Hollywood run, and he really played up his mom and had him there. And that, look, the American nightmare is being half not American, half Cuban, and being the son of a legacy talent and trying to walk that line and trying to live right by being an American. Like, everything clicked for me. And I'm seeing him making those wishes and wearing the suits and high-fiving kids and giving their belts. And I wonder whether or not that's their Bret Hart moment. There's a generation of grown men in their 40s who think Bret Hart can do no wrong because they wanted those glasses when they were kids. But at the same time, as a jaded wrestling fan, I wonder, is this going to be the same level of a Stone Cold or a Rock or a Triple H, you know?
Yeah, those are levels that are going to be hard to attain for anybody going forward. But Cody, if there is one person that can do it right now, Cody is the guy, in my opinion. He's not quite there, but he's well on his way. And you know what? I got a feeling that when Roman comes back, that might be another guy who could be that guy.
Last question about SmackDown. What's the over-under on Roman's return? You thinking Survivor Series, War Games? You thinking Royal Rumble? You thinking Mania?
I would think wait. Wait as long. They're already chanting, "We want Roman now."
Right.
Let this new bloodline really, really create some havoc and cause some destruction. Not that they haven't already, but let them just run roughshod over everybody. And the way I'd like to see him come back is I'd like to see Paul Heyman first. And you know, we're they have this announcement before SmackDown begins or as SmackDown begins tonight. There will be an acknowledgement ceremony. Paul Heyman is going to be here to acknowledge the tribal chief. Just leave it at that. Don't mention who. Just say it. And have him come out to the ring. He faces Solo and that sort of thing. And, he, you know, in his sheepish kind of way. And then it says, I acknowledge. You know how Paul can do it. I can't
remember right.
Paul.
But
and then Solo's looking at him with that to say my name. He says, I acknowledge my tribal chief. And then he stops stuttering and he just comes back and he smiles. He looks up at Solo. I acknowledge my tribal chief, Roman Reigns. And hit the music.
Right.
Hit the music. And then Roman can come out. And whether he's flanked by Jimmy and Jay or whoever else is going to be in the old bloodline, then it's on.
I got to put you on the spot then. So when do you think that's happening? You think it, October, November, December? Mania, next SummerSlam, the moon, 2029.
I would think wait till right after maybe Royal Rumble, because that sets off the tone for WrestleMania.
Wow.
Depends on who wins the Royal Rumble, obviously, and what the plans are there. But I think they could wait that long.
Breaking news, Jimmy Cordero does not want The Rock versus Roman. He's like, forget that.
No,
baby.
Don't get me wrong. I'd love to see that, but holy moly, you know, if they do this right, you can do Rock and Cody at Mania.
The Rock won't do that, man. I think, and I know this very cool to knock on The Rock's ego now, and it's rather because I don't know if whether it was Black Adam or for me it was the Fast and Furious spinoff where I go, what are we doing here? But I think if Rock were to keep himself in shape well into his 50s for this, he wants to do Rock Roman for his family, for his clout, for all that. Cody's a match. It will make money. But if you only get one more Rock match, I can guarantee it'll be Rock Roman.
I think he's got more than one match in him.
I do too. Sure. Yeah. But again, we saw this from Batista. Like, he quit being dragged. So he's like, look, I'm like 54 years old. I can't do chicken breast forever. You know what I mean? I'm only a human being.
I need a steak here and there.
Yeah. Right. But man, there's thoughts about tonight's SmackDown. If you can give it a rating, that'd be great. If you're not, it's okay. How many stars? How many out of 10?
Yeah. I don't like giving stars. I'll give it a thumbs up.
Hey, a thumbs up is pretty solid. I like that as well. SmackDown.
Speaking of thumbs up, How about a couple of thumbs up for Flobo and I?
Oh, yeah, of course. Jimmy Cordero is just carrying me, brother. I was like, hey, man, can you protect my finish? He goes, no problem. I got you. We are watching streaming. Drop a like, comment, subscribe if you're on the audio version. Wrestling Inc. somehow gave me the keys to run this thing. Please let them know didn't make a mistake. It means the world to me. And this SmackDown was pretty solid. You got alternate wrestling, all tag teams, all women's matches. I know purists would be upset, but very, very WrestleMania 2000. I like this one. It was pretty cool, top to bottom. Yeah. Okay, here's the fun part. We made it to the hour. If I get to hang out with you, if I get to follow you, if I get to check out your content, how would I go about doing that?
Oh, well, obviously you can find me here on Monday nights after Raw, Wednesday nights after Dynamite, and sometimes I pinch hit here on and there on a Friday night, which is kind of cool. I love doing that too. Hey, I'm easy, like Sunday morning, man. And you can catch me on the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner. And RJ, our producer, man, he holds the glue together. Two thumbs up for RJ. Love you, buddy. But speaking of love you, buddy, this week, the coach, my buddy, oh, my goodness. We had a blast. Love catching up with the coach. He's such a good dude. If you tune in, I think you're going to like this one. And, of course, my ref and rants from Monday to Friday. I almost said Wednesday. Monday to Friday. On all my social media platforms, at Jimmy Corderas on Twitter, at Real Jimmy Corderas on Instagram. Again, little critiques here and there. Maybe, you know, something I liked. It's not always a critique. Sometimes it's a positive thing. And if it is a critique, it's screws I like tightened that I think would help the product. That's all.
This one time, I want you to tighten all the screws. Like, just blow this whole script up and start from scratch.
Well, I need more than a screwdriver. I need one of those drill guns, whatever you call them.
Well, shout out to Clayton Rubenstein, who is not here this week, but he gets somehow will be back next week, I believe, crossing fingers and all that jazz. But make sure to check out all the Wrestling Inc. content right here on the YouTube page and WrestlingInc.com, because they're the ones that cut our checks. But if you want to see me on Wednesday, my broadcast colleague and I, Jack Farmer, combined like Voltron, to talk NXT in a show we call Draped in Gold. Learn more at drapedingold.com. It's basically First Take, or Pardon the Interruption, meets professional wrestling, where I get to tell Jack he's wrong for an hour straight. It's great. Until I think you and I are back Monday night, though, Jim. I think we're back in the Monday Night Raw show.
Yeah, I'm back Monday night. If you are, I think Jack is as well.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
JFK's back, baby. Yeah, let's do it.
There you go.
All right. Well, as my friend Jack Farmer would say, we're now hitting the end stream button now.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.